Hi there, my name's Joe Buckley and I'll be sharing a few thoughts this morning. We've talked in the past few weeks about how following Jesus isn't just another well-being option to help improve the quality of your life or make you healthier or more successful, or an option that you might take alongside some other strategies like nutritional regime or a course of therapy, or it's not even really just taking on a spiritual practice. But to follow Jesus is to surrender our whole lives entirely into the hands of a God who bids us to come and die, to entrust ourselves fully, deny ourselves and follow him, and to find ourselves in him, and to say, "You are God, I am not." But this invitation promises a great return for our investment, because God promises restoration of our true identity, forgiveness, freedom, healing, peace, joy. And this divine exchange happens when we recognise our need of Jesus' finished work on the cross, where all our sin is put to death, and we say yes to Jesus and call him our Lord. And this might be a gradual thing or a very clear moment in time when we have given our yes to him, but it's a continual, consistent yes. And now, how we relate to God is a very personal matter, because no one else can give your yes to Jesus on your behalf. It's your own yes that matters. And you're able to have your own relationship with God that's unique to you. No one else can have it. A bit like a parent with several children. Each relationship has similarities, but is also unique. And the Bible's full of examples of accounts of individuals following God, taking up their cross, all with their individual stories. But I can find nowhere in Scripture to support the idea that our walk with Jesus is to be kept private. To follow him will always have an external outworking. I even like the word outworking, which is to mean the process by which something is brought to completion, because it has the word out in it. Jesus' life shows this from the very outset. The fact that we have written records is confirmation. He was seen and he was noticed. His life wasn't hidden away in private right from his birth through his life in his death and resurrection, but actually it was seen by others and he didn't hide it. And when Jesus returns, the Bible tells us that every eye will see him. So we can expect that our following Jesus won't just have personal or private implications in our own lives and hearts, but outward and public ones in our lives to benefit others. But what each person's walk with Jesus looks like outwardly and publicly will of course vary, as expressions of a life found in him are as various as the numbers of people who are walking on the earth. But the Bible is clear that there'll be some key threads, themes that are common to all believers in what our walk with him will look like. After all, we're all in the same family now, and God, being a good father, knows how he wants to raise his children. Jesus in Matthew's gospel tells his followers that we are the light of the world, and this being so, do not hide it. Instead, let it shine before others so that they might see your good works and praise your Father in heaven. And this is amazing and scary all at once. How I am, me being my truest self, will show that I belong to God and he will be praised because of it. And what are some of these good works? We know that we aren't saved on account of what we do. Jesus has done what we couldn't. But there's actions that will indicate our relatedness to God, and he has said will bless his heart. I think Matthew chapter 25 has one of the most challenging teachings of Jesus, where he says that there are certain actions that we take that will separate us out as his followers. Did we feed the hungry? Did we visit the prisoner or the undeserving person, or welcome the stranger, or clothe those who needed it? Did we look after the sick? And whatever we've done for the least of these, we've done for Jesus. So do we realise that when we do these things, we are blessing the very heart of God and serving him personally? Several years ago, I applied for a job in a high secure psychiatric hospital to work as an occupational therapist. I didn't feel very glamorous telling people where I wanted to work, but I felt such a draw to work with this group of people, so many of whom really were the least, the last and the lost. They were people with severe mental illness, abusive backgrounds and some really disturbing histories of having carried out awful acts themselves. Yet I felt a prompt, I believe from God, to work with this client group and show them their value in what I did. I wasn't really able to share my faith overtly because of the constraints of my professional role, but I remember spending time in a little prayer room on many of my lunchtimes, crying out to God for them, and I remember some really beautiful times of being able to show mercy and grace through my actions. And I also had some really special encounters with colleagues, including one who had been quite sidelined and slandered by the rest of the team. And I made a choice not to join in with the slander. And by God's grace, this made a big impact on them as they said I was the nicest person they'd ever met. I knew that God was showing his love and care for this person through me. And I trust that God was doing a work through this and that they would see my good deeds and praise my Father in heaven. One of Peter's letters in the Bible talks about opposing evil as children of God. And he says, "Do not repay evil with evil, but repay evil with good." He says, "To keep your lips from speaking evil, and even if you suffer for doing good or right, you are blessed. And don't fear others, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. And always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, giving a reason for the hope that you have, but with gentleness and respect." And these are the ways of our light shining and through our human jars of clay. I'm a lousy evangelist and I often don't feel prepared to give an answer for the hope I have. But God's gradually putting to death my perception that people aren't really interested in him. I've recently been surprised by some really wonderful opportunities with the most unlikely people who've been eager to learn more when they found out I'm a Christian. God's just graciously shown me what he's doing already and allowed me to join in and let my light shine a little. But there's no doubt that the outward and public expressions of following Jesus will cost us and will at times cost others. Oswald Chambers, who's a Christian teacher from the late 19th and early 20th century, wrote a devotion with the title, "What My Obedience to God Costs Other People." And I remember reading this when I was about 18 years old and it really stuck with me. He says, "We can disobey God if we choose, and it will bring immediate relief to the situation. But we shall be a grief to our Lord. Whereas if we obey God, he will look after those who've been pressed into the consequences of our obedience. We have simply to obey and to leave the consequences with him." And I remember in my early walk with God having some really challenging decisions to make on about my lifestyle that would be public and outward decisions and that would have implications, like whether to go on the wild boozy holiday with the girls. I pulled out of the holiday and I remember the disappointment on my friend's face as I broke the news. And I did have to leave the consequences to him, but I'm confident he took care of everything. And right now I'm about to step into a different role at work with more responsibility, and I'm aware of the new opportunities and challenges this brings to let my light shine and to do the right thing that God's prompting me to do at each point, even if doing the right thing seems unpopular among my colleagues. But again, I shall need to leave the consequences to him. So what does living life with Jesus in public or outwardly look like for you? Where is the Holy Spirit calling you to show goodness and mercy, to care for the poor, or come in an opposite spirit that reflects him? Or to talk about the reasons for the hope that you have? And where might the costs be for you and potentially others, where you really need to trust God with this, knowing that he'll take care of it all? Maybe you feel like your heart's become a bit hard towards those who don't know Jesus, or those in need, or those that we might see as undeserving. Or maybe your focus is just getting through the days rather than on seeking opportunities to let your light shine. I can relate to this. We can ask God to soften our hearts with compassion, and we can also declare confidently that Jesus wasn't joking when he said that we are the light of the world, and he will enable us, however weak we feel, to let our light shine. And as we do this, he will be praised.